This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio Ignition. Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
The reason I race is to get the chicks. You know what I mean?
NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, sports cars, and NHRA drag racing.
Hey, guys, just want to let you know, WFO rocks.
WFO Radio is total motorsports.
It's just so cool.
Fasten your seatbelts, fire up the ignition, and drop the hammer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Radio, what's up, everybody? Joe Costello back with you. WFO Ignition from Johnson City, Tennessee. That's right. I'm off doing performance TV, everybody. But we are connected. Giovanni in Miami is back at the mothership in sunny South Florida. It is raining and cold here in Johnson City, Tennessee, but we're toughing it out. Giovanni, what's going on?
All is wonderful in sunny South Florida. No rain to report from down here. Slight All drizzles right. here and there, but, you know, typical South Florida weather. It's, you know, not super hot, but definitely not cool by any means. No humidity yet, so.
81 degrees. Hey, listen, doesn't matter. We at least it's not snowing here. And it is race week. We finished up the 60th Lucas Oil Winter Nationals in Pomona, California. The Busch Clash was this past weekend. And now we're ready for the Gatorade Duels, the qualifying races. The pole was set. The Busch Clash happened. Eric Jones won the race. It was a bit of a crash fest. They had to go for it three times at the end in overtime. But in the end, it's now time to go after the big trophy, which is the Daytona 500. Now, if you're new to the show, the WFO Radio Fantasy League is a big, big deal. And we are going to give the password. Turns out I gave the wrong password on the show a couple of weeks ago. That little piece of paper. Well, there's a piece of paper right
there.
I'm at him sitting in the studio. And it was written on the paper. And Driver Group Game is the website. DriverGroupGame.com is the website. And we have a group of, you know, 60, 70, 80 people. It all depends on how it works out. And if you played in the league last year, you're automatically back in this year. You have to quote unquote check in. And what does that mean, right? Well, I went and checked in, and there's a button that says check in, like, hey, you want to play again? So literally, you need to click the button that says check in, and you'll be back in the league. Now, what do you get if you win the league? This is something worth talking about. First of all, these leagues are legacy leagues. They have been in operation since 2004 or five, when Tommy Noodles and Rainbow J, it was actually Rainbow J on the Wide Open Show on XM or Happy Hour Show. Rainbow J said to me, Jay Matheny, good guy, said to me, okay, we should do a fantasy league. And I'm like, oh, I'd like the idea of doing a fantasy league. And we started the process of requesting that we do a fantasy league. And of course, we were told, no, you can't do a fantasy league. That's not officially sanctioned programming. You know, we can't really do that because, you know, what if listeners are joining the fantasy league and, you know, they fall down a step of stairs or something while they're programming their team, they're going to sue us. And so we did the leagues anyway. That's where I learned, one of the places I learned, it's like, you got to just do it and ignore, asking. Ask forgiveness, don't ask permission. And so we started the league, and then everybody wanted to be in the league, and finally we got a green light for the league. And these leagues have been going on for a long, long time. When we moved to WFO Radio Podcast, met Tom Patsis from Cold Hard Art. We talked about having a trophy made, like the Borg Warner Trophy. And now, every year, a new name goes on the trophy. The reigning champ is Mr. Fantasy NASCAR, a fantasy playing Hall of Famer. And he won last year, and he did a great job. His name is on there. Dirty Hippies is on there four times. I'm on there. All the champions are on there. If you join the league, you get the opportunity to maybe earn your way onto the trophy. In the meantime, every week we do the scores, we poke fun at each other. It's real easy. You set a couple of drivers, a couple of drivers are broken up into three groups, A drivers, B drivers, C drivers. Each week you pick 2A, 4B, 2C. You start half of those drivers, 1A, 2B, 1C. Whoever gets the most points each week. We call out their name. We have a lot of fun with the winners. We make a big hoopla for them. The people who stink it up, we mock them and mercilessly ridicule them, ourselves included, and it is a good time. You do not have to be a NASCAR fan to enjoy it. You might not even like NASCAR. It's really easy to do, but if you're going to have an opportunity to win, unless you plan on just getting totally lucky, you want to put some thought into it, because you can only use each driver so many times. That's the rules of the game. If you want to play, here's how you do it. You go to drivergroupgame.com. You can go to the WFO Radio website, and there's an area for fantasy, and you click on the scores there. I'm sure you can get there through there, or just go to drivergroupgame.com. And the name of the league is WFO Radio, capital WFO space radio, capital R. The league ID number is 613. And here's the password. This is the most important part. The password is capital W, capital F, capital O, capital R, all squished together, lowercase ADIO number one, all squished together. Capital W, capital F, capital O, capital R, lowercase ADIO number one, all squished together. When you write it out, it's going to make sense because it says WFO Radio 1. And the league ID is 613. And the league name is WFO Radio. And you'll be in there with me and Giovanni in Miami and Patrick the Webmaster for his second last week. And everybody, you know, I haven't reached out to Dirty Hippies Rich. I haven't reached out to everyone like I have in the past. Like, hey, y'all get in the Fantasy League, because I assume that the website has notified them. Perhaps I'm doing a bad job. The good news is this is Daytona week. Hopefully everybody is all geeked up to play again, and you don't have to start from scratch like we have in the past, which is actually much, much better. Have you yourself, Giovanni, checked in?
I have. As a matter of fact, I have just set a preliminary team to make sure I didn't leave no drivers for this weekend's race, you know, as that can happen. And a lot of chaos going on in the Geo household over the next few weeks. So, going to have minimal time to do things like, check fantasy teams and stuff like that. So I'm trying to get ahead of the chaos.
I can't remember a time when there wasn't chaos in the Giovanni household.
Well, that's what happens when you have children or a child.
So all of these people around the world, they all have just total chaos in their lives.
All the time, constantly. Well, no, if they have children, they do, especially if they have multiple children. But if they have even at least one or more, yes, definitely chaos going on around those households.
Yeah,
all the
I guess.
Time running around doing children-related crap.
Lots of children-related crap.
No, it's not just children. Then people get old, and then you got to go take care of a broken-down family member, and it puts chaos into the household.
Oh my goodness! Well, that's exciting. We're all aging. Hopefully, someone in your family will take care of you when you start to break down. Oh wait,
screw that! They're just gonna kill me and bury me in the yard.
Well, it's already happened. The breakdown has begun.
Oh, get out of here.
It is. It is. It's pretty terrible to see how the breaking down has occurred. So let's give the vital information again and encourage any new listeners, first-time listeners. I had some people reach out to me via email, like new listeners.
And by the way, I don't think you should say it's all squished together. How about one word? As in no spaces. One word. WFOR, capital letters, ADIO 1. One word.
But maybe your way works too. Like, let's go. Let's communicate.
All squished together seems kind of confusing to me. I don't know. It sounds like when a bunch of people are in the back of the bus just pushing each other left and right when the bus turns.
Oh my gosh. You are a special
driver
person.
Driver in the back of the bus.
Yeah. Someone's talking about letters and you're thinking about a bus. Right. League ID number 613, capital E, capital F, capital O, capital R, lowercase ADIO1. One word, even though there's a number, right? Like, it's all together. However, if you can't figure it out, you don't get to be in the league. There it is.
I mean, that's like a good idea, too. Yeah, I like that.
listen to what I'm saying and write it down. If there was a space, I would have told you there was a space. There's no space. Now, I know this is coming from the guy who gave you the wrong password, but that was different. I had the wrong piece of paper. That was like 5 years ago or something. But and you should throw that piece of paper away, Giovanni. It's right in front of you right now. But capital W, capital F, capital O, capital R, lowercase A-D-I-O, number one, league name, WFO Radio on drivergroupgame.com. Join the league. Do it immediately. And WFO listeners, if you want to invite your friends, do it. Let's get a huge league going. Let's. There's no downside anymore, as far as I understand it. I think everybody is in. Maybe you reach out to Rich York, and I'll reach out to Money Man and the people who have been trailing off, and maybe Bob Smith, who sent odds. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I did not get it. I'm not privy to that. When did that come through? He sent them to today. You. I didn't get them.
Yeah. No, Bob hates me. Well, that's probably – Bob's not the only one. That's the problem, man. You've been driving away all the people who have been the diehard listeners to WFO for all of these years. Giovanni's just inherent negativity has been driving them away. But it's okay. We're going to bring them back. We're going to bring them back. I had somebody tell me the other day that he doesn't hate you as much as he used to. I found it heartening, actually. Was like, you know, at first I wasn't sure, but now, you know, I'm still pretty sure, but whatever. I thought it was pretty interesting. So that's good. You're growing on people a little bit.
Like a fungus?
Or maybe you're growing less like fungus.
Well, I'm
perhaps.
Trying to grow less. I'm definitely not trying to grow anymore. I'm trying to contract.
Yeah, well, it's the slow walk, the slow shuffle to the grave.
You know,
one day,
you know, it might be better to just be a snowball rolling downhill.
So the Bush Clash, Eric Jones takes the win over Austin Dillon and Clint Boyer. A lot of crashing going on. Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, a lot going on, but good to have NASCAR back. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, anybody who knows that I was out there at Pomona Auto Club Raceway on the starting line watching NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, our first points race of the season. And so I can honestly tell you I have seen zero, a couple of Crash Fest highlights of the Busch Clash. But I did read about it. I did see what everybody's saying. I'm scheduled to speak with Joey Logano on tomorrow.
Joey.
And get Joey's opinion on what went down. And I'm going to think a little bit about what the best questions for him are. But really,
well,
I have
heard
like
he's
six...
in a blood feud with Brad. So maybe you could, you know.
Did you hear he's in a blood feud with Brad?
Yeah. Well, Brad is upset at him over something.
Because they did. What's he upset about?
Keselowski on the radio, quote, destroyed by my teammate.
I thought Kyle Busch kind of hooked Joey. They were just racing hard. And Brad is over the top. Oh, here we go. Penske teammates have differing views over Busch Clash incident. Might as well just read it, right? And then what is this? Where is this from? Who knows? This is from Jayski. Here we go. It was relatively calm, but unmistakably racy start to Sunday's Busch Clash at Daytona. But by the last of three overtimes were complete, the garage area was littered with bent and dent race cars and some equally banged up feelings. Joe Gibbs Racing. Okay, let's skip over that because we know Eric Jones led only the last lap to win it. Logano and two-time Cup Series champion Kyle Busch were involved in a collision on lap 66 at the front of the field that collected Keselowski, who was running just behind them, and three other.
Basically, Joey blocked, and that's kind of they're saying that, you know, it was just, quote, a dumb move.
Just got wrecked for no reason, just dumb racing, just dumb moves being thrown out there, Keselowski said after emerging from the medical center. Guys that don't know what they're doing throw crazy blocks, and it's just ridiculous. We shouldn't be wrecking all these cars. That is just dumb. We had a good car. My Alliant Ford was capable of winning races. We led a lot of the race. We were in good position to finish it off and got destroyed for no reason. Talking about... Joey Logano, is he talking about Joey, his teammate? He says he doesn't know what he's doing. Hasn't Joey won a bunch of big races, including the championship? I don't know. I think that's emotions. Whatever. I don't know if I'd call it a blood feud, but it is what it is. And a great start So we'll ask, there you go. That's what I'll ask Joey about. Like when Keselowski says you don't know what you're doing, like, doesn't that infuriate you? Doesn't it make you want to go push him like you push Denny Hamlin? Like, doesn't that make you want to push him and see what Joey says? I'll ask him that. I don't think I will ask him that, but it's a nice thought one way or another. Anyway, qualifying is in the books. The front row is locked out. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Bowman the Showman. Did you watch any
ex-boyfriend? I did. I actually got to watch almost all of qualifying. That was the one item that I did get to watch,
which is exciting. Any
before I had to run out to you know, pre-mention children activities.
Lots of children activities. Well, the baseball is starting up again.
Well, no, it's in full swing. Starting up.
And how's that
kidding
going?
Me? We played four games. We had three games in 5 nights over this past weekend. We played Thursday, Saturday, and Monday.
That's the thing about it.
I had
a
practice in between, you know, and it's four events in 5 days. It's too much for me, at least. The kids like it.
It does seem like a lot. Like you guys do seem like you're at baseball a lot.
It's not baseball, it's some other crap. I mean, stuff, you know, those things. These kids, you know, they're all very active, very, very active. Got to keep them busy.
How come when I was a young lad, my parents were way more busy than anybody out here? Dad up at 4 a.m, construction work all day long. And I did some of these things, certainly played baseball. I did things, but it just felt like there was more time for everybody.
Nah. Now, clearly, yeah, you're just imagining it.
You think so?
Our perception of time just changes as we get older. And so, you know, now we have no time for anything. We used to have no responsibility, and time was like just, you know, like plentiful.
Running around, doing stuff, getting in adventures, going out by the train tracks, like Stand By Me, you know, in the back canals and waterways of South Florida, getting into adventures. Just amazing things, like the most incredible childhood. I took karate. I did baseball. I was at the Y. I played video games. I did all kinds of stuff, constantly riding bicycles. Everywhere doing what I was
how much
I
of
was,
that those activities involved your parents?
Well, yeah, where were they? Right exactly.
See, but again, I don't know. I think maybe you're thinking of these activities that you're talking, riding bike and stuff. You weren't six, 7, 8, 9 years old on your own all over the neighborhood and, you know, through the streets of Hollywood, Florida, and all that stuff you were doing in elementary school. I think that might have happened later on as a teen. And middle school or high school and junior high. Well, high school, we had cars and stuff, so we were getting into different kind of trouble then.
That's the thing, man. All that stuff I just told you happened before I was 11. But
I don't believe that.
Well, you don't believe it, but I'm telling you it's an absolute fact because I moved from Hollywood to Pembroke Pines at 11 years old. And all of this stuff that I just told you about, all those amazing life adventures that I had, happened prior to 11.
Now, that I got it. I figured it out. Ding, 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 ding.
I know
I'm going to blame you. And partially, and it happened to run here. Adam Walsh.
It's Adam Walsh.
Adam Walsh is exactly what happened. They took that little kid. They kidnapped him. They killed the little guy. And everything changed for the rest of us. Our parents freaked the F out and didn't let us do crap after that. And now they're highly involved in our lives or whatever. Or now we're highly involved in their lives. And now with all this technology, we're constantly spying on them. And, you know, and tracking them and crap around their bracelet, like if they're little prisoners, except they carry it in their pocket.
It's weakening culture, though. It's weakening our culture.
No, look, I don't know about all that. But, yeah, no, look, man, adventure. It's just, I guess, I don't know. It's
about Tom Sawyer and, you know, Huck Finn out on the mighty Mississippi. You know, think about all those things that made Americans tough and great. Like a sense of adventure going out there. Not that you should do that at 4 or anything, but certainly, 7, 8, 9. And you're absolutely right. This is WFO, everybody, where we could be talking about the Bush clash 1 second, and next thing you know, be talking about the lack
of
adventure.
All direction drive. It leads you to Adam Walsh ruining everybody's lives.
Well, it's you claiming that you don't have time for anything. Me trying to get to the bottom of it, but it's also very true. Like now the idea, they call them helicopter parents, and there's parents that are more helicopter than you guys, definitely. But the idea of your kid going out riding his bike for 3 hours and you not see him is not even on their radar, I don't think.
Are you kidding me? If that were to happen, I could be arrested for that. You know, like, think about it. I guarantee you that if I just let him go, the park, which is, I guess, what would you say, that a block away from the house? It's literally
500 feet away. It's right, like right around
my back door neighbor's house faces the park. If I were to let him go to the park all by himself at this age, I think, you know, and somebody saw him out there for too long, somebody would call the authorities and find out why that kid is out there by himself. Because he is, you know, he's a little big for nine, but he's still nine. He's like a kid.
Is this true, do you think, or are we just overreacting? Because I think you're probably right. We've certainly seen stories in the news of the kid who is nine at the park by himself, and the cops come, and the parents, health and human services,
no, that's
or
a
whatever.
Different story. The ones that get killed and shot, that's something else. Don't worry about that.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying the police come and ask
the
kid.
No, I know. Right, exactly. And so that's kind of it. So you can't really let your kids out running around riding bike an 8-9-year-old by themselves throughout the neighborhood, because the next thing you know, they're going to show up at your door. And, you know, HRS or whatever the hell the initials are or acronym is, they're going to want to, you know, answers, demanding answers.
Yeah, my child is out playing on his bike, having a good time within 1,000 feet of his house. At a park in a safe neighborhood.
Now, to be fair, maybe in, you know, in smaller, you know, we do live in a major metropolitan area. So maybe, you know, as you get out into smaller communities, it's, you know, it's more acceptable.
Maybe we're overreacting, like just like with everything else. Right. Like we got, you know, we're all taking our shoes off, getting on the planes, going crazy, living in this extreme security nation. At the same time, like the kids, look, they're losing their opportunity to have a sense of adventure, to go out there and be on their own as young people. And so they never learn how to be on their own.
No, but they're playing the video games and stuff. So they're good.
Exactly. They don't even have to leave their house. Yeah, they have the sense of adventure. Like, I wonder what's going to come up next in this video game.
Play with their friends that are in their own houses.
Oh, a sense of adventure. I wonder if Roger is going to pick up the video game console today, and I'll be able to play a video game with him today. Oh, I wonder if it'll happen. Oh, my God. No, it didn't happen. This stinks. I hate you, Mom and Dad. I don't know, man. Like, I think about my childhood, and I was all over the place. Here in Butte, but it was all before Adam Walsh. That is so true. You know, 1973. What year did Adam Walsh happen? Like 1983?
No, like in the 80s, yeah. 82, 83, maybe, yeah. Maybe even as late as 85. Yeah, we'll find out right now, Adam Walsh.
Those count in the 80s, just saying. And here's an interesting
statistic.
Oh, wow,
no, look, we're totally wrong. 1981. He died July 24, 1981.
No, no.
And look, we're totally right. Oh, his kid's birthday was in November of 74, so he was a year and a half younger than us.
Yeah, but what you don't even realize, or maybe I've told you in the audience, this has come up from time to time over the years, Adam Walsh, his house was right around the corner from my elementary school. He was 1 year younger than me, and he literally came from our neighborhood. He was abducted from the Sears Mall in Hollywood,
Florida. Yeah, no, the Hollywood Mall, I think, is what it was called, not the Sears Mall.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? You know, those
Hollywood
malls,
Mall, but
changed,
we called it.
Yeah, change names all the time.
But I know what I called it because we lived there. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about my life. This is not some abstract situation to me. This is my life. This is the mall we went to. The mall, we called it the Sears Mall because there were two malls. There was the Hollywood Fashion Center. And there was the Sears Mall, where I would go to get my childhood haircuts. That was our mall. There was a cool deli in there. There was a lot of great stuff. And in the Sears that we would go in, you know, like there's a mall. Everybody's got a mall, right? There's six entrances to the mall that you go to. And for whatever reason, you have your preferred entrance that you always go to, whatever the reason. Very few people go to the mall and go to a different entrance every single time. You know, like a lot of people, creatures of habit, go to the same entrance. Well, the entrance we always went to was the entrance by Sears. And you would go into Sears by the garden department, me and my mom, and we would go in there. Well, one day Adam Walsh is in there with his mom or dad or however, and this crazy guy took him. And he was abducted, and it was like the first couldn't be the first abduction in the history
no,
of the world.
No, but it was the first, like, really public, and it led to a lot of, you know, national awareness and campaigns for children's safety and you know, all that.
Everything We know. And America's Most Wanted or whatever the one
his dad, Adam, not Adam, John Walsh, later on became the guy from America's Most Wanted. I think he still does a bunch of those crime shows.
And you don't wish it, like he'd be 46 years old now, Adam Walsh. And it was just horrific because an insane person, took him and did
something. Well, he'd be turning 46 this year, yeah.
Yeah. So very, very terrible thing. But I got to tell you, my adventures as a young person continued. They continued after Adam Walsh. My parents didn't become a helicopter society immediately because I moved out of there in like 1984 and I was still going everywhere, man. Me and we were doing all kinds of stuff. Bad stuff, man. Bad stuff. We had train tracks near my house. I would walk along the tracks.
Did you see any bodies over there by the train tracks?
No, but we would look at the train tracks for like pieces of coal and quartz, and we put quarters on the tracks and watch them get smashed into just flat slugs of metal. And one day, somebody, not us, found a bag of jewelry that had been stolen
from the heist,
from something. And my mom asked us, "You spend so much time by the tracks, why couldn't you have found the jewelry?" But we did not. We did not. But it was interesting. And when Ringling Brothers would come to town, you know, they would come on a train. This is back when there was a carny train, man. Like the circus would literally come to town and they would park the train off to the edge of the tracks. You know, like they, you know how they do with the trains, like they kind of do a switcher and they go off. And the Ringling Brothers train would be near my house. And my mom would always say, "Don't go there, Joe. Don't go over there because the carnies will take you." You know,
yeah,
that's how
the
they
bearded
get
ladies and stuff like that.
No, that's how they get their workers. The next generation is kids that they kidnap.
Not true.
How do you know? Maybe it is true. But that's what my mom told me. And I was scared. I wouldn't go over there. But and the canals, that's the thing, is Florida, Hollywood, Florida, there's a lot of ocean access canals. My friend lived on an ocean access canal, but we're far from the ocean. So it's just kind of like, and we would go and we would get on like his little rowing boat. And we would kind of row around and get into adventures like Huck Finn on the mighty Mississippi, except we were not there. But all by ourselves, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. That was adventure, man. I remember we went to our elementary school and we got up on the roof, running around on the roof of the elementary school, running and jumping, grabbing palm tree fronds and swinging from side to side. This was not smart, but a sense of adventure was developed. You know, fear was erased. Anyway, hopefully our kids can be trained to that with other things. I guess we digress.
Yeah, no, now they're great at like Fortnite, and they win, you know, more money playing video games than Tiger Woods wins for winning the Masters.
Yeah, exactly. One kid does, but every other kid spends a bunch of money on skins.
Well,
whatever
only one
that
guy
means.
Wins the Masters, so.
Right, but all the other players win a bunch of money too, and they're, you know, the skins that you're spending on Fortnite. Yeah, I don't know what I think about Fortnite, man. I think I'm against it. It's just too, whatever. It's a fad. Right? It's a fad. They're all fads.
It's been a long time since this fad, but yeah.
Yeah, it's been going for a while, but soon there'll be a new game that's more technologically advanced, and everyone will play that. The one that you can feel, right? The one that's actually inside your brain. Let's move on. From this blast from the past was brought to you by Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology for you high-performance engine builders out here. Oh, yeah, folks, we're not limited to racing.
For those of you that want modern technology out of your piston rings, not blast from the past stories like we offer.
The blast from the past piston ring was made out of a Coca-Cola can like they do in Cuba. I think that's how they make the piston rings over there. But Total Seal doing a great job. Matt Hartford had a bummer of an out, round two out there. Looking forward to seeing what happens in Phoenix. The newest Hidden Horsepower is up. It's a frequently asked question episode. You should definitely check it out at Apple Podcasts, Spotify. But if you're an engine builder or someone that knows engines and you're buying piston rings,
is that
you
the
should
one
be
with Keith Jones?
Yeah, Keith Jones. Exactly. We did a little experiment without the intro music and all, but it was really cool. And you should check it out. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Speaking of kids with a sense of adventure, right? You want to become your own, have your own career, blockhead, CNC programs, motorsport, EFI tuning, all of these things, CNC machining, available at samtech.edu. Check them out. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. It's not just a sense of adventure. It's the dragster adventure, where you actually go strap yourself into a dragster and race it down a racetrack. That is something that young Joe would have really loved to have done. So much so that older Joe actually has done that. And I can tell you it's one of the great experiences of my life. And one of the reasons why I continue to want to be involved with drag racing. The sport is fun to watch, but it's way more fun to do, guys. Like, way more fun. And on this note, I want to say a big congratulations to my longtime childhood friend, Corey Kramer. Kramer Power. Corey Kramer has, finally, he doesn't need to listen to this show, finally gotten to a point where he is back racing again. And I got to give him credit because he always buys like a half finished car and has the aspirations to finish it and then gets it from half done to 75% done and then sells it, right? He bought a car that was like, 85% done and finished it and raced it. And in his first race, he got to the semifinals. Like, that's incredible. Way to go, Corey. I know you're not listening, but it deserves to be said. Good job. Down to the semifinals. It's got me motivated to get back out there, too. And you don't have to do any finishing. You just show up at the Dragster Adventure, going around the country, and you can drive a dragster and get that sensation. And Frank will even set up a race. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. The hot sauces and the spice rubs and the grills. Like, if I lived in Fort Worth, Texas, I would swing by there and I would meet Marvin. I would walk out of there with some coffee. I would watch him roast my coffee fresh per my order. I would definitely get it full bean and just buy it like an $11 grinder on Amazon. And then you're good to go. And you can get through the great experience that I have on a regular basis of grinding my beans and drinking my coffee and having a wonderful time. Marvin. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, and of course, MagicDryUS.com. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, wow, Joe, the commercials, these people, do they make it possible? And the answer is, these are sponsors of the NHRA Nitro Show, and we love them, and we're trying to bring on more, because that's how the podcast gets going. But if you want to hear the NHRA interviews first, and solely just the interview itself, you can go to patreon.com/WFO radio and just hear the interviews and hear them early. And we've got quite a few people on there pledging money to get early release, right? And thank you to them, patreon.com/WFO radio. So NASCAR season get rolling. We got the fantasy leagues coming up. Ferrari, the first to unveil their car, the new Ferrari launch. Ferrari has officially launched their 2020 season with the grand reveal of the Ferrari SF1000 in Romolo Valley Municipal Theater in Reggio Emilia. Haas and Mercedes have only displayed their respective new liveries on their 2020 cars. I like the Haas look, by the way. I am glad they went back with the original gray, white, and red. I hope we are fortunate enough to get to rock some new Haas gear at some point. But man, I think that the black and the gold was bad luck. The energy of the non-sponsor was sucked into the team.
Energy of the non-sponsor.
Huh? A non-existent sponsor that didn't exist. The company that does. Yeah. Amazing. What was it? Was it a Ponzi scheme? They should definitely do research on that at some point. Ferrari are the first Formula One team to show their new car, the SF Scuderia Ferrari 1000, to commemorate their upcoming 1000th race in the sport this season in the flesh. Before taking the covers off the car, the Scuderia upped the drama with an orchestra and a choir.
Of course.
And glamour of yesteryear's launches. I love that. Let's get an orchestra and a choir out there as much as possible. Bum, 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 bum. Bum 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 bum. Which is the Magnificent Seven. I don't know why I came up with that. In the front of the theater, packed with Ferrari team personnel, fans, and media, with the powers that be sitting in the royal boxes, CEO Louis Camilleri addressed the challenge. These Italian names, what's wrong with them? The challenges that face Ferrari in 2020. Speaking about this huge responsibility that rests on Ferrari's shoulders as it strives for the ultimate goal, he added, this year is clearly going to be an interesting year. We have tough competition all season long. It is also an important year in parallel, we have to create and build a completely new car in line with regulations that will govern Formula One in 2021. The team will be very, very busy. I have every confidence that we have the people with their creativity, discipline, and work ethic. Mattia Binotto and his team are doing a great job, and we look forward to the success going forward, but we are not just looking forward to this season as time is our enemy. We spend weeks, months to gain hundreds of a second, and we are very much focused on the long term. We have Sebastian Vettel and Charles Leclerc we count on. They share a passion and pride for Ferrari and a loyalty to Ferrari. After the pomp and ceremony, the new SF1000 was finally unveiled. The new Ferrari retains a matte finish to help keep the car weight down, while Ferrari have tweaked the suspension bodywork. You can see it. I'm looking at planetf1.com. It looks pretty good. Pretty wild-looking machine. Whole lot going on. The matte finish saves weight. That's very interesting. And there are more stories about how they have done things to streamline the concept to maximize performance and downforce. So very interesting. So we got the Daytona 500. We got Ferraris coming out. Haas F1 has shown their livery. Everybody is hopefully signed up for the WFO Radio Fantasy League. Great stuff. Jimmy Johnson, on the other hand, what was he doing? He was at the first day of IndyCar testing at Circuit of the Americas at wet weather testing. Because remember, this year in IndyCar is the debut of the Aero Screen. First of all, IndyCar is pretty interesting because, number one, Roger Penske bought the deal. So what's going to be different? What's going to be the same? That's interesting to me. But number two, the cars are going to look very different because they have the Aero Screen. And what they were doing was testing the Aero Screen in the water. And Will Power says the Aero Screen performed just as designed. In particular, no fogging or visibility issues during a rainy day with temperatures in the low 40s. His run was limited to just two laps under full course caution and et cetera. But Jimmy Johnson was there. And Johnson admitted, this story from IndyCar.com, Johnson admitted a possible interest in racing as an IndyCar in 2021 after his NASCAR contract expires. He said the addition of the Aero Screen certainly elevates safety on all forms of courses in IndyCar competition. I'm definitely learning, Johnson says. This is a totally different world than what I've been used to, but it's a world I dreamed of racing in when I was a kid growing up in San Diego. My heroes were the guys that raced in the Indy 500. I'd go to the Long Beach Grand Prix and watch and hang out and wanted to be in a car going by. For me, this is a learning experience, and IndyCar has always been a bucket list category for me to come see these cars, to be around these cars. Next year is open for me, and who knows what opportunity might come along in IndyCar, sports cars, or back to my off-road roots. I'm just taking it all in and see what comes of it. Wow, that's pretty interesting. How about that? Jimmy Johnson in an Indy car. I like it. He's got plenty of money. And what he doesn't have now, he will have plenty of, which is time. He'll have plenty of time. The guy's
What do you mean he'll have plenty? The guy's already running marathons, NASCAR 18-time champion.
He's got kids, man. How come he's not? What's the story with him? He's got all kinds of kids.
Maybe his clock is ticking differently.
He's got time to do that. He just, like, you don't know how to use your time wisely, man. You should
keep
it. Oh, yeah,
well, you know, unfortunately, you know, a large portion of my day is taken up by this crap thing called work.
He's got work. Look, he's at work right now, whole IndyCar thing.
Right, no, I know, dude, you know. He's slaving behind the wheel for that slave wage he makes.
Exactly. And he said, like, last year that at the end of the, he was like, I can't do 36 races again. He says, I can't. And that makes sense. It's a long commitment. The travel deal is what, even in a private jet, going and flying and landing and like that over and over again. Terrible stuff. I mean, I would love to do it. But you know what? I said terrible stuff because, no, it's not terrible stuff. It's great. It's amazing. Everybody aspires to it. But you know what made me think of that? It was Kobe.
Kobe.
Well, anybody that take small aircraft of any kind on a concert. Like Hendrick Motorsports, it has hit them already. Anyone that flies on small aircraft that often, Alan Reinhart said it on the show, the Kobe thing, it'll make you think a little bit. Even me. It'll make you think a little bit. Like, yeah, the odds, you know, you don't think of the odds when you go to the grocery store in your car. Yeah, no, you don't. But you can get in an accident, and it might not be a fatal accident. You get an accident.
Yeah, it could just be a fender bender.
Fender bender, cars colliding, whatever.
When right, a rainy day, you know, you hit, you know, a car behind you hits the brakes, slides sure. into you, anything.
Accident.
That no stuff happens on a small aircraft.
And tough stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, but anyway, I don't know where I went there. That was just stream.
No, yeah. So. I'm sure, you know, like the fact that you're on a small bird, you know, on a bird all the time, you know, makes you think about those things.
I wouldn't, but he wants to go be an IndyCar, so he's going to have to move around, but he's not ever going to run a series again, right? He's not going to run a series again.
I mean, you like, would think that he's not going to race full time.
Have to report. And if he does sports cars, how many times do they run a year? Like 6-8 times a year. You can do that real easy. And he's going to go, and you know what? I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a little inside look right here. Joe Costello, WFO. WFO Joe, breaking it down. Ready? Here we go. If I was worth $50 million, like Jimmy Johnson probably is, or more, I wouldn't be doing anything either. I would have a couple of small businesses. I would be trying to hook up my friends and get them to figure out how to use their time more wisely, right? I would be trying to help people. But I wouldn't be, like, doing a gig that once it got to a point where I feel like, oh, man, I'm cool. I could do whatever I want, however I want, whenever I want, and have as much as I want for a long, long time. Done, I think. Some people, you know, they want to have a job. They want to keep going forever. I think Jimmy Johnson's doing it right. Then you never know. Like the cosmic forces have a way of dropping a meteor out of the sky on your head then too. So here's the way qualifying went at the Daytona.
This is the way.
This is the way. I finished The Mandalorian. I told you that. You know what else I saw? Got a real movie review for you.
No, get out of here. You went to an actual, like, at the theater movie?
Oh, no. On the plane, man. On the plane.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're sitting on the bird.
Thank the Lord, American added some new movies. Because last year, the second half of last year, they added nothing new at all. Okay, now we got a whole bunch of new content that I'm going to mow through by April, but at least I got it. First, I saw Jojo Rabbit, and I've seen Joker. So I got two that I've seen now.
I've never even heard of this Jojo Rabbit movie. I've heard of the Joker one, obviously.
Scarlett Jo was in it. She got nominated for an Academy Award for it. And
Marble Columns. Like it this was okay. one. And that one. And that one. And this one.
Yeah. That of all the Scarlett Jo stuff, that's what you got coming right to your head.
Yeah. Marble Columns.
Marble Columns. Jojo Rabbit was okay. You would hate it. It's a little boy. It's World War II. He's a Nazi. And it's the end of World War II, so the Nazis are going to lose, and they kind of know they're going to lose. And so they're like, you know, trying to really brainwash little kids to go be in the army. And he's one of them, but blah, 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 hijinks ensues. They call it a comedy. There were funny moments, but I don't know, man. I didn't find it that funny. I didn't think it was that great. I you know, very against the whole concept of Hitler. And, you know, he was a bad guy in the movie, but I don't know. Whatever. I'm just against the Nazis, man.
I think we all are.
I don't, yeah. Used to feel that way. I like to see them in, like, Inglourious Basterds context. This was a little weird. It was as if, what was it trying to do? Like, how could I explain it? It felt like it was going out of its way to humanize the Nazis.
Oh, boy.
Follow me? Yeah.
Yeah, just what we need.
Right. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just me. But anyway, and then Joker. Oh, my goodness. Joker.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix. Didn't he win an award or something?
won it. He won the Academy Award. They should have given him two Academy Awards for that performance. Given him an Academy Award. Like, well, okay, what happened to the other guy? Remember the other guy who played the Joker? What's his name?
Killed himself.
Yes.
Heath Ledger, man.
Heath Ledger. He did a great job as the Joker. Okay? This guy needs to be immediately put on suicide watch. Do not let Joaquin Phoenix go in himself for a year.
I think he'll be alright. Remember, his brother OD'd.
Why would do you think that'll make him all right?
Yeah, man, that'll make he's like you know he's experienced death firsthand, so he's not going to go over the edge, you know.
No, I think that would make him a little more likely to go over the edge.
All right,
I think he's seen it up close. It was an accident, though.
You know, sometimes you could just go up to the edge and stand there and look down.
Look down, right? Lost a lot of friends there, baby. No time to mess around. I got. You know when you're doing. We all know when you're doing that. Come on, Van Halen, Diamond Dave. Although, Diamond Dave, great song. Diamond Dave. How he got into shape to look so sickly. Oh, man. So sickly. Like, there are some shots, like the dirt and disgust. You see the spiral of Gotham. It's really horrible and also great at the same time. De Niro's in it. It's really good. But also, really, yeah, Bobby De Niro is having an incredible year, all right? Bobby De Niro is one of the greatest actors of all time. Yeah. And you'll see Joker,
I'm not
going to
argue with that. I mean, you know.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. Well, listen, Bobby De Niro. But. Really dark, man. Like all you faint of heart folks out there, you might not want to go. You might not want to watch this one. It's not, the good news is it's not 3 hours long. I think it's like 2 hours and 8 minutes or something. It was pretty quick because it is so freaking dark. Very, very dark and sad.
I paint houses. Oh.
Yeah. Unlike the Irishman. What kind of fish?
I don't know. Which you know the kind of fish that you cook.
Yeah, but what kind was it a mackerel? Was it a snapper? Where'd you get it?
Cod.
Was it cod?
Where'd you get it? Storm.
You know, where the fish store. So you mean to tell me you went into a fish store and you got a fish and you don't even know what kind of fish it was?
What'd you say? Just give me the fish.
You got to pull that. We got to pull that conversation. That is a great, that is the new Royale with Cheese conversation, I think. I think that's Marty Scorsese saying, you know what, Quentin, I can write about nothing too. I can write about nothing too. And everybody says we got to see what's it called? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? What's it called?
I have it. I saw it.
You saw it?
Yeah, I bought it.
When?
I don't know. It's on my, you know, on one of those electronic devices on the TV.
I didn't say where.
The other night, people that can't sleep sometimes just get up in the middle of the night and start doing things, right? Answering emails, watching TV.
How come you haven't shared this with us on the program? I'm doing reviews of Joker. You saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. How was it?
I thought it was great. I don't think it was, Colin Quentin's best work, but I thought it was very good. I very enjoyed it very much. The whole twist with the Manson and you got to watch it.
Don't ruin it for us.
I love Leo. No, it's not a twist, but if you see the movie, all right, I'm not going to say anything. Leo's great. Brad Pitt is cool.
Why do you hate us, Gio?
Margot Robbie is gorgeous. What else?
I love Margot Robbie. It's one of my faves. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. But anyway, okay, so look, I guess every movie that was nominated for
Sharon
Oscar.
Tate.
Okay.
There you go.
The except
Leo
for
is Sharon
Rapp.
Tate's neighbor.
Oh,
yeah, and he's an actor, and Brad is Brad is his stunt double.
Did you watch it in one sitting? Or
one
two?
Sitting? No, one sitting. I've actually seen it twice now.
That's 7 hours. The guy.
No,
the guy,
it's not a 3.5 hour movie. This isn't what do you call it? It's 2 hours and 40 minutes. So that's only 5 hours between two sittings.
Oh, that's much less. That's
it wasn't back to back. I didn't sit there like do a double feature.
No. Well, that would be crazy. Well, that would be crazy if you sat through a double feature. All right. So anyway, there, look at this, man.
Speaking of which, you don't ever remember going to the movies and just, you know, going to watch a movie and then playing video games and then going in and watch another one and maybe doing two or three in a row? Like, speaking of not having anything to do and being able to just burn a day at the movie theater.
Would you let your kid do that?
You know, I guess. I mean, you know, putting aside the morality of he's stealing two movies.
Stealing free movies.
You know, but yeah, I guess. Why not? You know, but that's the thing. Like, I don't, you know, how old were we? I feel like if that happened when we were in like 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, when they allowed us to go to the movies by myself. Prior to that, I wasn't allowed to go. I don't remember being allowed to do anything by myself in elementary school other than walk home and, you know, back and forth from home to school or whatever it was. I did BMX around the neighborhood, but I don't recall doing the crazy stuff like what you're describing until junior high school.
The movies, like the parents didn't drop me off by myself.
Right, you see, the parents dropped me off at the movies, or like you'd go, they'd drop you off and you'd meet the little buddy over there.
14,
and then there was a girl.
11, 15, 14, me and Slash, we would go to a movies, that kind of stuff. Never would go to the movies by myself with a friend until after 11 years old when I moved out to the Pembroke Pines. That's for me.
Okay, you see, that's all right.
But the running around wild in the neighborhoods,
wild in the streets,
that happened because it was 1982, and it was a safe, wonderful world. It was 1978.
There also wasn't as many cars just driving around the neighborhood trying to like mow you down. I feel like we live in, you know, and I think there's something, I'm not kidding, about the major metropolitan area, and it's different out here than like say New York. I feel like if you know out here being on foot or on bike is very hazardous to your health. I feel like the cars are trying to mow your ass down, and not really like letting you cross and not giving you any room. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's me imagining it. But
no, you're right. There's way more people. Like if you look at the population of South Florida in 1980 versus the population of South Florida right now, it's probably, you know, tripled or more. There's just way more people.
Well, isn't Florida now the third most populous state?
Yes, it is.
Well, there you go. That's part of it.
And where are all the people? They're not in Ocala. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, definitely not.
They're not in Gainesville. That's not where they are. Okay, they're not in Daytona. That's not where they are.
Well, there'll be about 150,000 of them this weekend, but.
Exactly. Well, it was a different era. And you also lived in Miami, and I lived in Hollywood, which is very different right there. Like, Hollywood was kind of a small town in between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. My mother describes it as like a sleepy southern town that happened to be on the beach. And you lived in Miami, which Miami has been a city since the 19-teens. And Fort Lauderdale has been a city since like the 19,
where
teens,
the boys are.
Right? So, and Hollywood was right in between. So
yeah,
I guess I
kind of get it. That makes sense. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Segue.
Well, that's why got my sense of adventure. So let's give some practice speed results for Daytona because people do care about NASCAR a little
bit. What about some winners? Are we going to pick some winners? You got the odds there.
I do have the odds. Do you want to pick winners? You want to do that?
Yeah. Come on, Gio and Joe. You know, screw those other guys, man. Bob doesn't include me in the ML. That's because, you know, William Hills is like giant sports book now. They don't have, you know, time for like little podcasts of NASCAR and stuff.
He's probably a very busy man. I wonder if he's become rich beyond his wildest dreams.
Oh, I'm sure all those stock options are he's just like rolling in the dough, boy.
Bob Smith's a wonderful guy. I'll be out there in Vegas in a couple weeks again. That's one thing. You know, I haven't talked anything about the Winter Nationals because Gio's not interested. And, you know, it's just like in the rearview mirror. We had a great time, great event. There was, you know, we could have a couple more top field dragsters. We've got to talk about the Torrance team. I'll get to that.
It's not that I'm not interested. It's just that the last thing I need to do is to hear you talk more.
I rarely talk. Then why be involved in this podcast?
Well, this is enough. All this talking that we do back and forth in this and all the listening that I have to do of all your interviews and all that stuff. So why do I want to talk to you live when I hear you in Memorex hours and hours and hours a day?
You know what? Listen, at first it sounded like an insult, but now that you put it that way, I actually really understand. I get sick of hearing myself, honestly. And the last thing I want to do is talk more. But there's actually interesting stuff going on. Like the Capco team, they've announced why they didn't show up. Like that I could have talked about first, right? Could have talked about first. Hit that on NHRA Nitro. I'm going to put up Jeg this week. Scheduled to talk to Doug Coletta. But anyway, let's just look at some of these speeds, right? 194.58, the pole speed. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Bowman the Showman, 194.36. Chase Elliott third, Jimmy Johnson fourth, Denny Hamlin fifth, Kyle Busch sixth. Seventh, Eric Almirola. Eighth, William Lord Byron. Christopher Bell, who is a rookie. Ninth, and Eric Jones, 10th. Look at this sport, man. Nobody knows who any of these guys are, but it's great because it's like fresh.
There is something about that.
Right. It's fresh. That's the thing. Joey Logano, 11th. Kevin Harvick, 12th. Clint Bowyer, 13th. Cole Custer, 14th. Ryan Newman, 15th. Matty D, 16th. Ryan Preece, 17th. Tyler Riddick, 18th. Chris Buescher, 19th. Kyle Larson, 20th. Followed by Martin Truex Jr., Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski, Michael McDowell, John Hunter, David Reagan, Ryan Blaney, Ross Chastain, Austin Dillon, Ty Dillon, Justin Haley, Bubba Wallace, Brendan, which I'm guessing is Brendan Gaughan. I don't know.
Yes, Brendan Gaughan.
He did not bother to put his last name on the scoring sheet.
That's terrible.
He's the one word. He's like, share, Brendan. Reed Sorensen, Timmy Hill, Daniel Suarez, Corey LaJoy, Quinn Hoff, J.J. Yaley, Brennan Poole, Chad Fincham, Joey Gase, and B.J. McLeod, the 43 cars. And the duels are this
Thursday. Week.
Yeah, and it's like every
we don't normally like to, we're doing the show on a different day today. It is Tuesday evening. Those of you that are corporate time stealing weasels and listening to this show might also, once you're done with this, go over and if you're interested in any of the Daytona 500 media day stuff, it's going to be online live streamed on NASCAR.com throughout all morning and day tomorrow also.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, that's, I guess, why I get to speak with Joey Logano at 10:22 from 10:22 to 10:23 and a half. That's interesting.
It's like you got a media scrum going.
I do. It's going to be.
So there is that. That's going on. And then Thursday is the duels. And that's it. I mean, the racing is starting, man.
No, this is it. Exactly. And I'm going to really focus on my fantasy team this year, I think. I say that now. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, Eric Almirola. Those are the first two rows of duel number one. You see how that all works out. And you can find this online. I'm not going to spend everybody's time just listing who is where. We're going to change the show a little bit as far as that is concerned. But yes, we are definitely rolling and going. The season is starting. I'm excited. It's exciting to have racing to pay attention to, all forms of racing. Now, the idea, you know, NASCAR getting rolling again. The Dixie Vodka 400. How many of you folks are coming to sunny South Florida in March, on March 22nd, for the Dixie Vodka 400? That's one that you need to do. Come on down and take in that one. We'll be there, right? We're going to go to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we discovered that you are in town.
I am in town.
And so we will be there. And, you know, who knows? We may be there with some of our close personal friends and listeners.
All right, here we go. Ready? Here are the odds for the Daytona 500. I do want to talk about, I got to tell you about Rich and Saugus.
I mean, that's a big change from Ford Championship Weekend to Dixie Vodka.
It's going to be definitely laid back.
Yeah.
Capsius and Rich and Saugus both showed up to the race. We had a great time out there in Pomona. Like, that's the thing I want to get to.
I saw you guys online communicating and stuff.
Yeah, but I didn't get to hang out with Rich nearly enough. Rich was standing in front of the stage while I did the pre-race and why the champions got their jackets and
rings. Oh, I saw you on TV giving out jackets and stuff. Yeah, now that you mention it. Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't know if that girdle or whatever it is that you're wearing, it's giving you a slimming look. Definitely good job by you.
It's the keto, brother.
Keto, yeah, right. What, did you wrap yourself in cellophane or something?
It's the keto. It really works. I'm telling you the truth here. And it's easy because I love cheese and meats and stuff.
Meat.
So you just don't eat any carbs. Although I did have some carbs.
Give them a glass of meat.
Cuban place called Coco Palm, and they brought out some Cuban bread toasted, drenched in butter. And I was like, I got to have this.
Oh, like the tostada?
Like the little
cut ones.
No, these are bread. This was bread.
Right. No, right. That's what I mean. But is it the bread like the Cuban bread in the breakfast one, like the one that we got at the bakery, or Cuban bread like that they give you with the meal that it's, you know, cut up with like that glob of butter in the middle of like the little round piece?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That they put the garlic on top sometimes too.
Oh, that's what they did. And they gave me the plantain that's smashed and fried. And I don't know if that's got carbs, but I had that.
Well,
and
it's a banana. It's a plantain.
Slurry of butter, right? So it's like a banana. So it's definitely a carb. So I did break the chain for like one day. But, man, it's working. The keto is working. Everybody's telling me. They're like, oh, my goodness, Joe, I can't believe how much weight you've lost. I had no idea that you were slightly overweight, but now you must have been because you're so skinny now. This is incredible. You're doing such a great job, Joe. That's what I imagine.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but listen, you should do it. Everybody should do the keto. If you're overweight,
keto,
you want to lose. I don't know why you're so against it. It's everything good that you like to eat anyway. You get to continue to eat. That's what's great about it.
I'm eating now. Look at me. I look great.
Everybody knows that Gio is just anti-everything. Like, whatever it is, he's anti. That's it. That's the way it is. Growling old angry dog.
That's
anti.
That's so not true.
It is. It's true. You know,
I am the epitome of positivity and all good stuff.
So Rich and Saugus, I'm up on the stage. We had rain. So our normal pre-race show was pared back, to say the least. And there was nobody on the starting line. The tractors are going back and forth and everything, jets and dragging and everything. But Rich and Saugus was down there, and I got to share a minute with Rich. But that's it. It wasn't enough. And, you know, I had to do the media center afterwards. I'm really bummed out because we were going to go to the hat and we were going to get pastrami. And I was going to take the pastrami off of the bread and eat it keto style.
You know what? Now I just realized I have a vision of you ordering a hamburger without buns. Yeah.
Where was that?
At Topgolf.
I did.
Yeah, ordering. Man. That's it. Because, you know, I don't know, man.
Listen, I'm telling you, it works. First of all, they're prepared for people to do it. Second of all, I've been doing it. And third of all, it works. The stuff is working. Now, am I killing myself in another way? That could be true. Cholesterol is going skyrocketing through the roof. My heart is slowly being filled by fat. And one day I'm going to walk out and have a heart attack. That could happen. But my plan is to get off of this deal after a little while. This is not a permanent lifestyle change. This is
If you're not going to do a permanent lifestyle change, then you're just going to play the yo-yo game.
No, but it's not that. I am going to do this to lose the big fat gut and then transition to a occasional carbs, vegetable, meat, balanced diet that includes exercise. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The key to success
is it's a simple numbers game. More calories out than calories in. It's not really that difficult.
The difficult part is
maintaining that and actually doing it and not overeating and getting moving.
It's an oversimplification. Clearly, you haven't been able to do it. I haven't been able to do it.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I did, you know, I downsized from, you know, about two and a quarter. I'm pushing out $2.
You would be considered medically obese, and
obese. That seems excessive. I mean, you know, yeah, I'm a little bit thick and husky, but obese, I think, is definitely not.
Listen,
I don't classify as obese.
No, nobody wants to classify themselves as obese. It's just the thing that
I would have to see the actual classification. Like, where's the line? Like, 5'10", 200 pounds is obese, you know? I mean, I understand, like, 5'2", 200 pounds, that sounds, you know, considerably different.
Like our friend is obese. Yeah, or maybe you're not obese.
I'm definitely not small by any means or any measurements in this case. You know, I would definitely consider myself to be on the bigger end of the spectrum. But obese seems a bit, you know, I mean, I know obese people, man.
You know what? I take it back. It's kind of something. Yeah.
You know, I can still get up from the chair and stuff.
I've thought of some obese people while you're talking about it. I want to take it back. There are people that I've encountered that are obese. You're not obese. You're just fat. All right.
Whoa,
and so listen.
Whoa. What's with the fat shaming? Guy loses 10 pounds and now everybody around him is obese and fat shaming people. I mean, really?
Well, because you're attacking me for my new healthy lifestyle, because this is clearly jealousy. Because you won't let me take a bun off the burger. Like, it's like I'm some sort of commie.
I didn't want to say, but I got to tell you, man, the first thought was pinko commie. Look at this pinko commie eating a burger without a bun. What kind of crap is that?
It was written all over your face. You forget.
It really was.
Guy calls me a communist because I don't want to have a bun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, listen, whatever
it is. You know what? I understand all these years in South Florida, the Cubano comunista has rubbed off a little bit on you.
Sharing my food with anybody that's not paying for it, that's for sure. So that's not happening. And, you know, I saw a video of myself last year from, you know, NHRA stuff. And, man, like, I got to get rid of the belly. That's it. Even if I have to have some sort of surgery or a balloon or a tube or something.
Well, I think it would be the opposite of a balloon.
I don't got well. Don't be inflated in my stomach to like make me not eat. But like, this has got to go, man. I don't know how I work. How does a guy with a big fat bowling ball under his stomach like continue? Like, this is enough. Enough is enough. That's it.
Did they ask you how many months pregnant you were? Is that what happened?
All the time. Everybody always asks me. Where I have the alien.
When are you due?
I tell them 7 months. What do you think? What am I supposed to do?
I tell them
7 months. But honestly, it's amazing that I have a job at all with this. But I'm working now. I'm working. I'm on the case. Full lifestyle change. It's going to be great. All right. So let's talk Steve Torrence. Okay. First of all, Doug Coletta won the race. Amazing. 5 final rounds in a row. Wins 3 in a row. That's pretty insane. It's pure insanity.
Coletta owned Pomona, huh?
Coletta owns Pomona. Yeah. Doug owns Pomona, which is great. Austin Proc did good by making the final round. Pro Stock Jeg versus Jason, the two guys that are retiring. I think it's great. You're going to hear Jeg later on here on WFO Radio. Those of you that can tolerate this program. By the way, Gio, I think this program is actually pretty entertaining. I would like to listen to this. But, you know, I think we need,
welcome back to WFO.
Honestly, though, I think we need a little more production.
All right, though.
Let's call you on the carpet. We need a little more production, man. We need a little more sound effects. We need a little more music. Like, we've got the comedy part down. We just got to supplement it with a little stuff.
What the f*** are we doing here?
You know, I'm not hearing that so well. That's not really coming through. I kind of hear
Interesting.
It.
Interesting. So, well, there's got to be something.
Well, exactly. Now, I've got something that I've just got. Gio and I are using I hear it.
So it's not faint? Yeah, I guess we didn't. You know what? We didn't consider testing the sound effects. And if... Did you hear how was the open? Did you hear the open okay when it came out of my computer? I mean, you did hear that because you did talk on cue fairly well.
I did hear it. The way it's coming over is not forceful, but I hear it.
Very
It's almost like I'm hearing it through another channel, maybe. Yeah.
We'll have to, you know what? I once took a college course and I learned test, test, test. That's how you figure things out. Test, test, test.
Let's work on it. Now, I've got something that I can do, like if I wanted to go into the witness protection program, this new thing, it's just kind of funny. I'm not going to go too long because I find that when I do this, I turn into a different person and none of it is appropriate for WFO. Gio certainly understands. But if I press this,
I can all of a sudden become a different person. I have this interesting processing on my voice and it makes me sound different to most people. Now, what I end up having to do, I always end up kind of going a little, I don't know, urban with it, which is
you know what? How about go, mommy?
Mommy. Oh, mommy's lifting.
He puts the lotion in the basket.
He puts the lotion in the basket or it gets the hose again. Mommy. Yes, my skin's so made of body parts.
Buffalo you Bill. See,
so that's a different thing. Now, I could also do a Phil Hendry. I could have a guest named Roger, and Roger's here in the studio. Roger, what do you think about Giovanni?
I think he's obese.
But I'm not going to do that. But anyway, so we got to increase that on the show. We got to add that element. You know, in a sound effect every once in a while. Should we have a sound effect? No. Exactly. But whatever, we're going to ramp it up, I feel like. Okay, so Torrance and the team, did you watch the open to the Fox broadcast of NHRA? If you did, you saw something that was definitely designed to increase intrigue in the sport, that this is a sport of friction. And in that, this Steve Shoven Camphoré is prominently used, but they said that they really didn't like the fact that they were fined, but NHRA is going to use the video. Now, whatever you just did, I'm hearing myself back to my whatever.
Oh, I turned off the mic. I turned off my mic over here.
When you turn off the mic, it just comes right back to me.
I did. I noticed, and you were cutting out in a bad way too. So,
when you turned off the mic,
yeah, when I turned off my mic,
that's weird.
Yeah, very weird.
Why would it affect me on my end?
I don't know. It's a different setup. It wasn't like I potted the volume down. I actually turned it off, you know, like on the clicker off here.
Sure.
Maybe if I...
Yeah, see, I think you should do that.
I think if I need to, I'll just pot it down because it looked like definitely didn't affect the audio quality there.
I think he sounds very, very much better when the mic is down. Just me, just what I'm saying.
Thank you. So, anyway, yeah. Don't do that again.
Okay.
Listen, I want the Torrance family and the Capco team to show up to Phoenix and just start racing, and let's put it all behind us. Now, they've got their own reasons, and everybody's got their own reasons. Everybody does anything. I have my reasons, right? But I think that my opinion is, in the interest of everything and everybody, the best deal is to put that incident as far in the rearview mirror as possible. You guys have all had a problem, an incident, something you've done in your life that was a bad moment. Whatever it was a negative moment. Was it your fault or was it not your fault? Whatever it was a bad personal moment. And the best thing that you can do is just get up, do your thing, go to sleep, get up again, do your thing, go to sleep as many times as possible, put as much distance between you and that moment as possible. This is one of those times, I think. Like, we need to get some races out of the way and get to the next controversy, get to the newest thing. I felt like it was a bummer to not have Scott Palmer and Billy Torrance, if he was scheduled to even be there, and Steve Torrance. Like, I know that they wanted to point this out, and I respect that, and they did, and that's great. And whatever they choose, it's their operation. But I think for all of us who love drag racing, it would be better if we just start getting things going on.
Yeah, I agree.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And what else? Pro Stock, Jag over Jason. You'll hear Jag on the show. Funny Car, Jack Beckman. Jack Beckman was sick, very sick. And I hung out with Jack Beckman a lot.
You're in trouble.
Well, we're going to test it. We're going to test the new and improved immune system is what we're going to do.
I hear your immune system isn't very good.
No, it's not. It's not very good. But it's getting better with all this travel. And so we'll see. But I took a bunch of it. Kathy Macias, our great friend on Twitter, who is like the best WFO radio listener fan that we have.
Super
probably.
Fan.
And Rich and Saugus, there are a couple low.
Well, there's a lot of super fan level fans, but she's definitely one.
Friends of
Besides,
show.
They don't all send, Yankee personalized jersey kind of gifts.
That's right. Everybody was talking. I was talking to the Dodger fans, man. I took the time in California to speak with the Dodger fans. Like, guys, what do you think? You feel cheated by this whole Astros scandal? Yeah, let's do sports.
What did they say?
What's the latest?
They said, no, we'll just go get Mookie Betts from the Red Sox, and we won't feel cheated any longer. Since the Red Sox are a wealthy team that's having a fire sale because they don't want to pay They don't want to, you know, whatever it is, that BS crap that teams from big major metropolitan markets have pulled on their fans and made them believe that they can't afford, you know, what, arguably the second best player in the game. Get out of here with that crap. Lo, what do you have to say about your team giving away a superstar talent player for a prospect?
Yeah.
Crickets.
What about it? Huh? What about it, Lo?
I think it's crazy. Not just Lo. Like the fact that, you know, like you know what? Not that I have any sympathy for the Red Sox fans, but this is preposterous. Like, this is completely unacceptable for them to trade Mookie Betts because they don't want to pay the guy.
Listen, you are totally missing all of this.
Which is
I'm very disappointed in you. Here's what happened. Okay.
Tell me.
The cheat scandal that I have been on the razor's edge of the tip of the spear following along, and how the Astros.
Yeah, no, the scandal is going to go away till you brought it back on WFO. I mean, you're right.
I was the guy who I knew that it was going to be a big thing, and I did. Okay, but listen, who like potentially got screwed? Right, that's the question. Like, we know who got screwed, Gia. Well, in the American League, the Yankees may have gotten screwed. You could say, well, they might have lost anyway, and maybe they would have, but it's now totally in question, right? Okay, but in the National League, in the American League, hopefully I said that right, the Yankees potentially got screwed. They may have lost, but we don't know. In 2017 to the Astros, and in 2018 to the Red Sox. And in both of those situations, they went on to the World Series against the Dodgers, and the Dodgers got smoked twice, once by the Astros and once by the Red Sox. They are upset. So here's what clearly has happened. A back channel in Major League Baseball has gone to Boston and said, you guys got to make this right. You were clearly cheating. You're clearly a team of cheaters. And what we need you to do, since we're not going to take the World Series away from you, even though it is totally tainted forever, the Astros World Series, like, I don't see how anybody could argue that the World Series isn't tainted. Most people that I talk to, because I'm a Yankee fan, and occasionally, like, I like to have fun with the Red Sox fans, and I like to have fun with everybody, and, you know, talk about our superiority and all that stuff, those funny jokes and everything, but in actuality, I'm going to real baseball fans, many of which hate the Yankees, and ask them, what do you think about this thing that happened, just so I can get the real perspective from them, and Gio, many very knowledgeable, baseball-loving, passionate fans say, one, that the players should be punished somehow for doing it, and two, that the World Series victories should be nullified. Not given to another team, but just like not contested for that
year. It's called vacated is the term you're thinking.
Vacated. A lot of people are saying that's just not right for baseball. You can't give them those victories. Those victories weren't earned. There was a systemic cheating scandal, right? Well, baseball is not going to do that. So what have they done? They've gone behind the scenes to the Red Sox and they've said, listen, guys, you guys are busted cheating. You obviously have a tainted World Series. We're not going to take it away from you, but you screwed over the Dodgers badly. Badly. You screwed
them. So you
have
to trade them your best player.
That's right.
Wow, that's genius. Yeah. Trade. I don't think Manfred's that smart, but yeah, okay, I'll buy that.
Would you call it an even trade? Was it fair trade? Was it an even trade?
Well, first of all, no. When you trade a superstar, you never get fair trade or even trade back because you're trading, like I just said, arguably a top 3 to 5 player in the league, if not the second best player by many accounts, for a young guy that you can only hope that maybe one day turns into something this good. And so, no, it's not. It's never going to be fair trade when you trade an MVP superstar talent.
And you're saying that the Red Sox, you know, they're crying the blues that they can't afford something. Meanwhile, they are a major market team. They're one of the most recognized uniforms in the world, period, right? They spent all that time building up into a team that could take on the Yankees. They had success, and now they're fire sailing. Why?
Because
they don't have money. They did not because they're cheap.
No,
not
it is. They it don't is. Have... No, the reality is because they're cheap. You could, you know, look, your story is nice and the cockamania and but there's too many what ifs involved in it. All right. The bottom line is that ownership is cheap. They have decided that they don't want to spend the money. And, you know, please, when the poorest and worst teams in the league are worth $1 billion, when the Marlins sell for $1 billion and the Royals are worth $1 billion, there's no excuse. Every team can afford the talent that's out there. It's just that there's 30 teams in the league, and not all 30 teams are on the same agenda, and they're not all trying to win, and they're definitely not all trying to win right now. And so that's what happens. But there's really no reason why.
Win?
What?
That's it? You're saying the Reds are like, you just gave two conflicting concepts right there. Like, that's the thing, is your opinion is in conflict with itself.
No, it's
so
not.
The Red Sox organization is quitting their try to win.
They are seizing trying to win at the moment, and
they're waving
for,
the flag
right for you know, attempting to win in the future.
Because they know they're seeding the ground to the Yankees. They know that the Pinstripes are going to be the dominant team for the next 5 years at least. So they're saying, why should we pay Mookie Betts? Because we're just going to lose anyway.
Right, and they have all this high-priced talent. How many players are they paying now to not be on their team? You know, so that's a lot. And look, it's that same old story where these, you know, billionaire owners have convinced the fans that they, you know, that the payroll's gotten out of control, yet all their franchises, the poorest among them, is worth $1 billion. You know, look, now they are entitled to choose to not spend their money, but I don't believe that it's because they don't have it. It's just that they choose to not either reinvest it back in the business or put it in their pocket or whatever, which, by the way, they all have a right to do that. But don't, I'm sorry, when you have a sport that's, you know, generating that many billions of dollars on an annual basis, and the poorest of the franchises are worth $1 billion, then it's not because people are lacking money. You know, it's because they're choosing not to spend it.
$1 billion isn't what it used to be, man.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Gosh, I feel sorry for those billionaires, man. You're right. It's not. Those ends just aren't meeting like they used to when you had $1 billion.
Couple more contracts, Garrett Cole's got that, man. $1 billion is the salary of like four players. It's not even that much money anymore. Come on, $1 billion. Everybody's got $1 billion these days. There's billionaires everywhere. Come on.
No, billion is the new million?
Billion is the new 100,000. Billion is the new million. It is. How long before we have our first trillionaire? That's the real question. It's coming soon, probably. I don't know.
Here.
So, well, there you go. What else? Any other sports collision storylines before we finish up?
Well, pitchers and catchers reported today, I believe. It's so baseball is starting up, and that's why I think we're discussing those. No, basketball's all-star break is coming up, and it's in
When's
Chicago.
The draft?
Like the NFL draft?
Yeah, when's the NFL draft?
April. No, that's the April.
Draft. Still too far.
Oh,
okay.
Well, I know what, speaking of, you know, football, the XFL played this past weekend. Now, I must admit I didn't watch a single minute, but, you know, I did hear, you know, I heard about it, and I heard it's on.
I'm not giving them the coverage yet. No, what I'm interested in is the big Deontay Wilder-Tyson Fury fight.
Oh, you know, I'm going to come to your house and buy it.
Yeah, except I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be in Arizona for the NHRA.
I know. I think, and I'm going to be, I'm kind of, you know, flying solo this weekend. Me and the Gray are going to be doing a lot of father-son activity, and I think maybe we'll come over here and watch the fight. We'll invite, you know, the crew over. We'll invite Vlad and the King, probably the white guy. Have
well,
a fight party.
You got the wrong week. The fight is next week.
Oh, it's not this weekend? Well, there goes that plan.
Yeah.
Best laid plans.
Thank God. But, yeah, I'm interested in that. That's going to be cool. Wilder is coming out. He's got to beat this guy, Tyson Fury, man. He's got to beat him. He's got to even fight. He's got to do it.
But Tyson Fury, he's like a real boxer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Wilder's the knockout guy, right, that we saw him?
Yes. Yes. Right. Tyson Fury is a
– And Fury is the light-complected fellow, right?
Yes. Yes. He's like, you know, Irish or Scottish or something. You know, he's got an accent. He's a really good boxer. The last time they fought, he outboxed Wilder.
He's from the UK, man.
whatever, one of those places, United
yeah,
Kingdom.
You know, right, Scottish or something like, you know, English.
Scottish or Irish. Well, listen, I listed everywhere else in the United Kingdom except where it was from. I'm going to list them all. It's from Wales. I think it's from Wales, right? No? Right. Not from Wales? But
he's from Manchester, England, dude.
I don't really see what's so funny about that. That you... Same place, man. It's all the same place.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, they all speak English.
They do, with varying similar accents. But he got rocked. He got knocked down, but somehow got up. And
no, I definitely want
it was raw.
This guy to beat Tyson Wilder's Fury. We don't want to know. Well, we want Wilder. Wilder's American, right?
Yeah.
We need another. Come on. The heavyweight champion has to be American, man, like Rocky.
Exactly. He is the American, and he's from Alabama, and he's got the whole bomb squad thing going. He's winning all these titles. Right. Tuscaloosa. So I'm hoping that's good. I'm going to be watching that Saturday night down there in Phoenix. Going to be great. All right.
Are you going to a watch party or something?
I'm going to.
You got to have an NHRA watch party for the fight, man. You should plan it.
I have been inquiring who is going to get the fight. I'm not going to get the fight. I don't have any way to get the fight. I got a phone that I could watch.
Come on. You got to get together with some. I'm sure somebody with a big screen there is going to be watching it somewhere.
That is my plan.
Reinhardt live in Arizona? Why don't you guys just go to his big shop? I'm sure he's got like one of those 95-inch screens on the wall or something.
Tucson, and it's about an hour and 10 minutes from
You just take the helicopter there. Just chopper back and forth.
Just making up weird stuff.
What's with this guy? He's just making up weird stuff.
Yeah, I know. I don't get it. He gets off the rip.
Sometimes I lose my mind.
He did. Well, bring it back. All right, here are the odds for the Daytona 500. Ready? Out of the order, but here we go. There are three favorites at 10-1. Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, and Chase Elliott are all 10-1. At 11-1, you got Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, and Kevin Harvick, all at 11-1. At 14-1, you got Martin Truex Jr. 15-1, you got Ryan Blaney. At 20-1, you've got Kurt Busch. 22-1, you got Alex Bowman, Clint Boyer, and William Byron. Also, Jimmy Johnson and Eric Almirola. Oh, here's another 20-1.
Who's Jimmy Johnson?
Who's 20-1? What is this? I'm looking at the sheet. You know, the odds are like way across. I think this says that Matty D's odds are 20-1 and Jimmy Johnson's odds are 22-1. But I'm having trouble accepting that as reality.
Yeah, no, that can't be. That's got to be a mistake.
Gotta be a mistake.
No, I think it's true, man. Matty D, 20-1. At 40-1, you got Austin Dillon. At 30-1, you got Ryan Newman. At 45-1, Chris Buescher.
Wait. Austin Dillon is 40-1?
Yeah.
Or Ty Dillon?
It says Austin.
Wow, I think, you know, I would plunk some money on Austin Dillon at 40-1. He's definitely capable of winning on a restricted plate.
Stand by. I'm going to email this to you. And you will also be able to see it.
Yeah, because I feel like if that doesn't, I mean, you know, I'm not questioning it, but it just doesn't sound right. Austin Dillon at such a high number.
It does seem very strange.
Yeah, very much. All right. Well, you have it. It's in your inbox. Daytona 500 futures updated. These are the updated deals. Daniel Suarez, 50-1. Reed Sorensen, 250-1. Chad Fincham, 300-1. Ross Chastain, 50-1. Timmy Hill, 300-1. J.J. Yaley, Joey Gase, and Quinn Hoff, all 300-1. Corey LaJoy, 250-1. Justin Haley, 100-1. David Reagan, 100-1. James Davison, 200-1. Brennan Poole, 200-1. Remember, this is before the duels.
Before the duels.
Yeah.
So that's true. These guys might make it. But yeah, man, Jimmy Johnson, 22-1. Matt DiBenedetto, 20-1. Austin Dillon, 40-1. Ryan Newman, 30-1. Chris Buescher, 45-1. Cole Custer, 35-1. Tyler Riddick, 40-1. Chris Bell, 35-1. He's a rookie.
Jump on that, man.
Yeah,
he's in good equipment.
So there you go. You want to make picks? All right, I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick first. I'm going Chase Elliott at 10-1. As my favorite. Chase Elliott is my favorite at 10-1. And my dark horse at 22-1 is Jimmy Johnson. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, those are definitely good numbers. I like those numbers.
Even though Jimmy's head doesn't seem to be too into the sport of NASCAR, if he's over at IndyCar looking around already.
Yeah, no, I guess, you know what, for the sake of this, I'm going to go with, why not give me, I don't think he's going to win again.
Who?
And I was going to say Denny Hamlin. But no, I'll tell you what is this. There's not that many. There's not that many favorites available with these odd sheets here. But you know what? Give me a guy who's angry at his teammate, Brad Kay, at 11-1 to win it all.
I like it.
Daytona,
Brad Kay.
You know, Brad Kay. He's got some big wins on his resume and a championship.
Yeah, he does.
So why not the Daytona 500 to, you know, Brad Kay in a Ford?
Agreed.
Making up for it. And for my dark horse. Who did you take as yours? Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah. Jimmy Johnson's the dark horse, and Chase Elliott is the favorite.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, these odds, man. There's a lot of good guys out here with big numbers by their name, guys that definitely have a chance of winning. I'm going to say, wow, can this really give me Matty D? Let's go. We're going to jump on the Matty D. Doesn't he drive the 21 car now?
Matty D, yes,
that's,
he does.
No, he's in good equipment, and wow, you know, and the Wood brothers win at Daytona. I mean, how perfectly fitting would that be? Give me Matty D in the 21 car. Matty D is a fan favorite. He's a WFO favorite.
20-1. He is. He's our favorite driver.
And so why not? Let's start off the season. You know what? This is a crapshoot race where you're just flinging the darts. I'm going with Matty D as my dark horse.
I love it. And who is your favorite? Denny?
No, I mentioned Denny, you know, but I went with Brad Kay.
Okay, so Joe takes Chase Elliott and Jimmy Johnson, and Gio takes Brad Keselowski and Matt DiBenedetto, and those are the picks.
So Joe,
I think you get the pick.
Took Jimmy and who else?
I took Jimmy as the dark horse at 22-1, and Chase Elliott at 10-1. I think he's getting the call.
At 10 that's, to that's what's and Gio took Brad decade. At 11 and Matt D at 20-1.
Well,
there
you go.
You have it, folks. The first pick of the season.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
All right, and I get to pick. I'm going to take Mark Trix Jr. at 14-1 because I think he's going to have another good run. I've been watching him, and I like the fact that they got a lot going on, and then as a dark horse, you know, it's kind of interesting. Think a little bit about it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go with, Kyle Larson. I'm going to go Kyle Larson. So the Chili Bowl isn't this guy's biggest win anymore. Like 2 weeks later, it gets erased. And he gets to see what a real big win is all about.
Oh, I think I like that. I think that's a. So,
that sounds like that guy Ben from the car alarm company.
Get away from the car.
This is exactly our great friend, Gio is referencing, you know, the Neil Rogers show that we used to work on.
The
comedy writer, Boca, used to do comedy bits. And whenever he had to do like, you know, an urban style voice, this is exactly the compression he would use. This is exactly he would use. There's various songs like remember that one about the car with the Crown air freshener?
Yeah.
Under a bond, the kind of ride I'll be dueling around in today.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man. Funny. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's all I got. You got anything else? I'm still here, Performance TV. Please set your DVRs. Check out the show. We're doing fun stuff, having a good time. Everybody seems to be loving it.
Yeah, I catch the Performance TV on the Motor Trend channel. It's still on at the bar that, you know, I would be going to if I was drinking on Fridays, but I'm not. And so
more people see the show on MAV TV in the bar when we're not on than see it live 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning when we are on a Motor Trend. Seriously, like people that know me, texting me all the time in the afternoon when I don't even know what's on. Oh, you're on the TV. Whereas when we're actually on, nobody texts.
Right. Nobody I would say the live play, but the first play,
right.
Like the premiere.
The first.
But, you know.
Premiere, first.
What are you going to do? But I always see it. It always seems to be on at that sports bar I go to.
People put on MAF TV, the sports bar types. They put on MAF TV because it's, well,
yeah,
it's one
they
of
have
those,
MAF,
those
they have
sportsy
ESPN,
channels
they have the
that's
Fox
always
on.
Right. No, I'm thrilled, man. I'm excited. I am excited. Any final thoughts? We did movie reviews. Jojo Rabbit, thumbs down. Joker, thumbs up. Gio liked that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. We did that.
Yeah, definitely.
The Pomona race was fantastic. The Bush Clash, we gave you results. We're getting ready for the duels.
Qualifying results.
Check comp coming soon. Qualifying results. We talked Ferrari. We covered a lot of ground. We talked sports. We attacked Lowe's team. We haven't heard from Lowe in a while.
No, I've seen him online. He's, you know, he's behind all the wrong things. No offense to Lowe, but, you know, he's rooting for Bobby Abreu to get in the Hall of Fame. And, like, I mean, I've seen the stats. That's just not going to happen. But anyway, the music is winding down, so I'll let you take us out.
I can't hear the music.
I know.
That's the first thing I can't hear at all. But, hey, we'll figure out. All right, everybody, that's going to do it. Thank you so much for listening to this nonsense show. That is WFO Radio Ignition, described by Stubo as a stream of consciousness that you never know what's coming next. If you feel that way, you will enjoy future shows. Click subscribe. If you do not feel that way, then I don't know what to say. That's why we have NHRA Nitro for you to listen to. Thanks to the sponsors. Thanks to the Patreons. Thanks to Giovanni. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to you, too.
Enjoy the races, everyone.
Later.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
Yeah, welcome to the party.
Bye, bye, bye.